The theme for tonight is be wise, have a tongue that speaks in a God-honoring way. And the key verse for tonight is Proverbs 18:21, which reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words can be powerful. They can bring tremendous benefit or great harm. In some circumstances, words can cause someone to live or to die. Words can cause someone to advance in his career, to be protected from enemies, to be defended when innocent. Words can cause someone's reputation to be ruined. Words can cause someone to be falsely accused, turned over to enemies, imprisoned, executed. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The ability to use words is a tremendous gift. Animals can't use words like we can. Only those of us made in the image of God are able to use words. It's a tremendous gift. God has given us the freedom and the responsibility to be in control of our words. You may be in control of your words and feel you can say whatever you want us to say regardless of the truth. And there are some people who have no fear of God and have no problem lying and justify their lying. But they should know that one day they will be judged for how they use their words. They should not use them improperly. They should be used wisely and responsibly to help, not to harm, to tell the truth, not add to the error in the world, to enhance justice, not create more injustice, to bring about life, not death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we want to use our words wisely and well. Questions? Good. Let's continue with Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The righteous, and when you hear the term the righteous, you should think those who are right with God, those who are in a right kind of relationship with God, and who are committed to living the right way, committed to doing the right things, those are the righteous. They're in a right relationship with God. They're committed to doing the right things. They will be able to say wise things to others that will help them live a better life in this world and enter into eternal life in the world to come. The mouth of the righteous is like a fountain that produces life. So we want to realize that our words can be used powerfully for the benefit of others, so much so that it's like a fountain of life, produces an enhanced life in this world, followed by eternal life in the world to come. In contrast to the righteous, And their good words, which produce life and benefit and blessing, are the words of the wicked. The wicked are those who are still in rebellion against the Creator and are not living the way He wants them to live. The things they say will, excuse me, the things they say will often conceal their real agenda. The mouth of the wicked is a fountain of life. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So the things they say will often conceal their real agenda. Someone who's planning to steal from you, someone who's planning to harm you in some way, someone who's planning to take advantage of you, someone who wants to move you in a direction that they don't want you to know about, try to conceal their intentions. Religion can conceal violence. Islam uses words of peace to conceal its violence. Jihad, war, killing are part of its core beliefs. From its beginning until now, Islam has a long history of violence, war, conquest, intimidation, suppression, subjugation. Islam has a history of making a treaty with a group of people and then breaking the treaty and killing them or enslaving them, and they declare this to be justified. You're allowed to lie to the unbeliever and, you know, break a treaty with them. So Islam conceals violence. Anyone who tells you that Islam is a religion of peace is concealing violence. So we need to be aware that words are powerful and the mouth of the righteous produces benefit and life. And don't we want to be like that? Don't we want to be receiving from wise men and wise women who are righteous, who give life-enhancing words? And don't we want to be aware of and avoid the wicked who are in rebellion against God, who are concealing dark agendas that will bring damage and harm? Questions? What about a Christian who has a hidden agenda? We should try to be aware of Christians and Messianic Jews who have hidden agendas. Just because someone is a believer doesn't mean they're always operating on the up and up. You know, people are not perfect, even, you know, God's sons and daughters, the redeemed, and they might have hidden agendas. Someone just told me about a congregation that imploded in part because the treasurer was embezzling, you know, from the congregation. I mean, it happens more than you might think. I'm sure he was speaking very lovely words. He was concealing, you know, his agenda, but it produced a violent reaction and helped destabilize, you know, this whole community and the lives of everyone in that community. So, we should be aware that just because someone is a believer, they might have hidden agendas. They're not perfect yet. They're not redeemed. Sometimes Christians are naive. They think, oh, that guy, you know, that Christian businessman, he's a Christian businessman, you know, I can just trust him. He will do what, you know, I don't need to sign a contract. I can just, you know, give him all the money up front because he's a Christian. No. No. Any other questions or comments? Rabbi Glenn.
Would it be safe to say that when the wicked are trying to conceal their agenda, they're
Absolutely. There's a proverb that we will go over that mentions exactly that. So let's hold off my comments until we get to the flattery proverb. All right, verse 19, chapter 10. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Many words, transgression is unavoidable. But the one who restrains his lips is wise. Out of the mouth of human beings comes truth and error. Truth mixed with error. Truth mixed with stupidity. Truth mixed with harmful, hurtful statements. It's hard not to make a mistake when you are talking. And the more you talk, the more mistakes you're going to make. So talk less and think about what you say before you say it. Is it really what you want to say? Is it true? Is it helpful? What are the consequences if you say it? Are you saying what you're saying at the right time? In the right way to the right person. My grandmother used to tell me, Lauren, you have been born with two ears and one mouth, so learn to listen twice as much as you speak. Yeshua warned us, every careless word that people shall speak, they shall render judgment for it in the day of judgment. Matthew 12. That should put a little bit of fear of God in you. Every careless word that people speak, they shall be judged for it in the day of judgment. Verse 20, chapter 10. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Wow. The things that the righteous can say can be very valuable. Those who are righteous, and when you hear the word the righteous, you automatically think they're in a right kind of relationship with God and committed to doing the right things. The righteous have the ability to communicate truth, to communicate wisdom that is precious, like choice silver, that's valuable, that is enriching. They can communicate the truth that can set people free from the lies, the confusion, the chaos that fills this world and leads to death. They can give wisdom and sage advice that can address many areas of life that will greatly benefit those around them. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. So you want to learn how to identify the righteous and listen to them. In contrast to the righteous, and the benefits they are able to offer are the wicked. The wicked are still in rebellion against God and God's wise principles. They're far from God, and they can offer little that benefits others because on the scales of real worth, even if they're rich and powerful and famous, they're worth very little. The heart, the innermost being, is worth little in God's estimation. And maybe we should value them the same way. Even if they're rich, powerful, influential, famous. So make a decision to be righteous And maybe you'll be able to speak into the lives of others in a way that will greatly benefit them. Know how to identify the righteous and the wicked, and listen to the righteous and ignore the wicked. I like that phrase, choice silver, that Solomon uses. Choice silver is silver that is refined, pure, and valuable. It's something that those who first read these words understood very well, but it is a concept that most Americans no longer understand. And here's why. In nature, silver is exceedingly rare and therefore precious. Because it is rare and beautiful and easy to divide and transport and lasts a long time, it formed the ideal money for many societies for thousands of years. People have tried to exchange goods and services using other things, beads and cows and chickens and seashells. But silver, along with gold, turned out to be the best kinds of money to exchange goods and services. In fact, the biblical word for money is kesef, silver. Many nations throughout their history used silver as money. In 1964, the United States stopped using silver in our coins. When I was growing up, dimes were silver, 90% silver. Quarters were silver, half dollars were silver, dollars were silver. But that stopped in 1964. In 1971, we stopped using gold as the basis of our dollar for foreign exchange. As a result of having money that's no longer backed by gold and silver, the supply of money exploded because you can just print it out of nothing. And everything now costs much, much more. So the last several generations don't have much contact with or experience with silver, except for the silverware that grandma may have had and is used for special occasions. I recently saw a short video on the internet, I think it was yesterday morning. It was a man. He was having this filmed. He was on, you know, the streets of, looked like a California town, and people were walking by. And he had Hershey bars in one hand, like, you know, big Hershey bars, and a 10-ounce bar of silver in the other hand. And he was asking people what they would prefer. A nice cool Hershey bar, it was a hot day, nice cool Hershey bar that came right out of the fridge, or this slightly tarnished 10-ounce bar of silver. Okay, the Hershey bar was worth maybe, I don't know, $1.50, $2 for a big Hershey bar? This 10-ounce bar of silver was worth $160, $170. You could probably get 80 Hershey bars, 80, with the 1 ounce, with the, you know, the 10-ounce bar of silver. In spite of that, person after person after person chose the Hershey bar. Now, if you know what I would consider the real value of things, it's like crazy. You can get 80 Hershey bars or whatever else you want for one, you know, 10-ounce bar of silver. So most Americans don't appreciate silver. Let me tell you a little bit more about silver. The Lord, in his wisdom, created silver and gold in approximately a 15-to-1 ratio in nature. Gold is exceedingly rare. All the world's gold can fit in a cube 60 feet by 60 feet by 60 feet. Like maybe the size of this sanctuary, you know, and maybe, you know, three times as high. All the world's gold. Silver is 15 times more prevalent, so you'd like need 15 of, you know, these sanctuaries for all the world's silver. But the problem is we've used much of the world's silver in the past 40 years in technology, electronics, photography. We've burned it up. It's in garbage dumps all over the world. Very hard to, you know, get again. There's really very little silver left. There's a 15-to-1 ratio between gold and silver in nature. And throughout much of history, you could trade 1 ounce of gold for 15 ounces of silver and vice versa. Right now, with 1 ounce of gold, you can exchange it for 70 ounces of silver. 70 ounces of silver. That's a lot of silver, which tells me that silver right now is tremendously undervalued. And when things change, and I think they will change, and gold and silver are properly valued, which I think they will be, I think the ratio is going to go back down to 15-to-1. Choice silver, in my opinion, is one of the best investments on the planet. The best investment on the planet. Verse 21, chapter 10. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. The lips of the righteous feed many. Fools die for lack of understanding. The righteous, and when you hear the word the righteous, you think what? Those who are in a right relationship with God and committed to doing the right things have wisdom. And out of their wisdom and out of their understanding and out of their commitment to do what's right, they are able to say things with their lips, with their mouths, with their words that will nourish the minds, the souls of many. They're able to speak the truth that sets people free. They're able to give wise advice. They're able to help, encourage, guide, direct, teach, build up, sustain others. The lips of the righteous feed many. Fools, who are the opposite of the wise, who ignore God and God's wise principles, die for lack of understanding. And their lack of understanding is their own fault. God has designed the world so that truth, wisdom, and knowledge are readily available. Truth is everywhere. The creation, from the greatest galaxies to the smallest subatomic particles and everything in between, tells us about the reality of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the engineering and designing ability of God, the beauty of God. The history of Israel is God speaking truth into this world. The history of the church is God communicating the truth to us. Hundreds of millions of Bibles translated into hundreds of languages have been printed and are available everywhere, including online now. So anyone with access to the internet has access to the Word of God in hundreds of languages. There are wise religious books in print. There are missionaries, evangelists, ordinary Christians and Messianic Jews, churches, Messianic synagogues preaching the truth throughout the world. Our messages are on radio, TV, the internet. There's great religious music you hear over the radio, religious truth that's expressed in music and the arts. Truth surrounds us. You have the righteous themselves with their lips speaking the truth and feeding many. The truth is accessible. It is there in so many ways. The lips of the righteous feed many, But fools die for lack of understanding. It's not that they don't have accessibility to truth. They do. It's the responsibility of each individual to seek the truth, to know God, God's principles, God's way of salvation. It's their responsibility to seek to gain wisdom and understanding. Ignorance is no excuse. I don't think anyone on the Day of Judgment is going to stand up and say, God, it's not my fault. I didn't have enough information. Questions? Good, let's continue. Chapter 13, verse 3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. How many times have you said something stupid? Something hurtful that you later regretted? How many times have your words gotten you into trouble? Maybe serious trouble. The person who speaks, before he considers what he is saying, what he is going to say, and the right circumstances in which to say it, who says whatever comes to his mind, is going to hurt himself, maybe severely. I know someone who didn't speak the words, but he wrote the words, something he thought he was being funny, and he wrote something in a cutesy way, but it was a very serious situation, and just these words damaged his relationship, and he was kicked out of the program, and it affected his whole, you know, career and life just by writing a few stupid words. The person who talks before he considers what he's going to say in the right circumstances, who says whatever comes to his mind is going to hurt himself. Someone said, be careful that your tongue does not cut your throat. I like that. Be careful that your tongue does not cut your throat. Could be. So the wise man learns how to control what he says. The mature man thinks about what he is going to say, the best way to say it, the right time to say it. There's a right time to say something. There's a wrong time to say something. He considers whether he should, you know, speak in person about the situation. Maybe it's good enough to talk by phone. He doesn't need to have a face-to-face meeting in person. Maybe he can handle it by letter. Maybe that's the best way. Maybe by email. Maybe by texting. There are certain situations you just cannot use texting. Serious problems. You don't just, you know, do a little text. The one who guards his mouth, watches over it, protects it, preserves his life, keeps himself out of trouble, perhaps even very serious trouble. The one who opens wide his lips, has no control over his mouth, says whatever comes into his mind, is going to come to ruin. Verse 23. I'm sorry, chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor, there is profit Work brings benefit. And all work, as long as it's ethical, there's benefit, there's profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. There are people who are all talk. Watch out for those who substitute words for actions. And don't be a person like that yourself. Talk is cheap. Don't just talk. Show others what you do with your actions. Stop bragging about your plans. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to do the other thing. Stop bragging about your big plans. Finish them first, and then talk about them. In all labor, there's profit. Watch out for the person who uses just words, mere talk, no follow-through, no action, that leads to poverty. And do not be a person like that yourself. Does anyone know someone who's like all talk, big plans, great vision, no follow-through, no action? I know several people like that. It gets very tiring after a while. Chapter 17. Verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. There's a connection between an evildoer and an evil listener. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A person who's in rebellion against God and God's principles is disposed to receive evil thoughts from others. It encourages him that there's others thinking along the same evil way. The wicked find evil, sinful ideas appealing, encouraging. They like listening to them. They listen to immoral politicians. They listen to corrupt preachers. They watch vile movies and TV shows. They love degrading music. Don't be like them. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is beautiful, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and there are things that are excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things. Listen to those things, focus on those things, listen to those things. Questions? Chapter 17, verse 7. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince, a leader. A fool is not someone who is necessarily stupid. A fool can be intelligent, well-educated, sophisticated, cultured. A fool is someone who has idiotic ideas about God and the inspiration of the Bible, foolish ideas about right and wrong, morality. A fool is someone who ignores God's wise principles that he's designed into this world. He can be super bright, can have a PhD from Harvard, and still be a fool. It's dangerous when someone who is a fool uses great words, great ideas, excellent speech, persuasive arguments to advance his foolish, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morality agenda. Excellent speech is not appropriate for a fool. When a scientist who's tremendously well-educated in one area gets on TV and starts talking about the glories of evolution, marshaling his defenses for evolution, when a Supreme Court justice gives an eloquent argument how it's right to kill a child developing inside a woman, or that homosexuality is good and it's a right, when a thought leader approves of what Bruce Jenner recently did to himself, when fools use reason and logic and persuasive arguments to advance their foolish, anti-God, anti-principles of God agenda, it is inappropriate. It is a tragedy. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool. We have a lot of fools. God is completely truthful. He cannot lie. He hates lies. Lies are destructive. Lies are corrosive. It's bad for anyone to lie. Lying is one of the things that is mentioned in the sin lists that will keep you out of heaven. Liars cannot expect to enter the kingdom of God. It's bad for any person to lie. It's even worse, Solomon would say, for a prince to lie. A leader who's in a position of responsibility, who's influencing many others. A leader should be a person of honor and integrity and truthfulness. He should not take advantage of the confidence that is put in him and lie. Liars should not be allowed to be in positions of authority. It disqualifies them. We must demand truthfulness from our leaders and only vote into office men and women of truthfulness and integrity. Present occupier of the White House is one of the biggest pathological liars I have ever heard. When people listen to him, you know, it's evil doers like evil speakers. They encourage one another. They justify, you know, they get encouragement and strength and, sure, absolutely. Chapter 17, verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Again, the use of the tongue, the use of the mouth, repeating a matter. Telling another's sins, transgressions, can separate the most intimate friends, best friends. Friendship requires the ability to be discreet. Do not choose for a friend someone who is not discreet, who will reveal your faults, your struggles, your transgressions to others. Choose your friends and confidants very carefully. Do not tell just anyone the things, intimate things, personal things, things that you struggle with, your transgressions. Choose your friends wisely. The one who conceals a transgression, who knows how to be discreet, seeks love. It's part of love to know how to be discreet and to protect, conceal a transgression, not broadcast it, not expose the one who's struggling with this, unless it's absolutely essential or necessary for some reason. This can also be applied to bringing up someone's past sins that have already been dealt with. Past sins, past mistakes that have been dealt with, and the person who knows about them keeps bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. A husband and wife get into a fight, and he or she, you know, goes back into the past, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this. It can destroy a relationship. It can be very hurtful, harmful to marriages. Maintaining good relationships by dealing with the issue, then forgiveness, and then not bringing the matter up again. Throwing it back in their face is the way to maintain a good relationship. Questions? Good. Verse 19 of chapter 17. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. And I want to focus on the second part. He who raises his door seeks destruction. I interpret he who raises his door not literally, but non-literally, to refer to one's mouth. Raising your door is like opening your mouth. Opening your mouth with proud words, boastful words, argumentative words. He who raises his door seeks destruction. By using words that are proud and boastful and argumentative, you're going to create a lot of unnecessary problems for yourself. He who raises his door seeks destruction. Don't use boastful words, proud words, argumentative words. Verse 20, he who has a crooked mind finds no good. He who is perverted in his language falls into evil. The person who uses twisted words, devious words, that's what perverted means, twisted, devious. The one who uses twisted, devious words and methods to attain his goals is headed for trouble. He's going to fall into evil. He's in danger of losing inner peace. He's in danger of losing his reputation. He's in danger of losing friends and relationships. Maybe in danger of losing his job. Maybe in danger of losing his freedom. He definitely will alienate himself from a holy God by his use of perverted language. Not just swearing and dirty words, although those can be perverted, but ideas that are twisted, lies, twisted, truths, distortions. He who is perverted in his language falls into evil, harms himself in many ways. Let's not use perverted, twisted words. Let's use good words, true words, honorable words, right words. Verse 27, chapter 17. He who restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. A wise individual, a mature individual, is able to control what he says. He restrains his words has knowledge. He thinks before he speaks. Yaakov, James, the Lord's brother, wrote this: "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, a mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well." James is telling us that if we can control what we say, we can control our whole bodies. We can control everything about us. We have self-control. Our ability to control what we say is an indicator of where we are in our spiritual maturity. If a person is spiritually mature, he is able to control what he says. When to speak, when not to speak, what to say, how to say it, the right circumstances, the right method, the right time. The person who is spiritually mature is able to control what he says. If he can't control his tongue, then he is not mature, spiritually mature. And if he can control his tongue, it's an indicator that he is able to control other major areas of his life. We want to be people who learn how to restrain our words, to control what we say. It will spill over and affect every other aspect and area of our life. Verse 28, chapter 17. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. A fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. Many people think that the person who talks the most knows the most, right? Solomon would tell you that it's usually the opposite that's true. The person who is always talking is usually the one who understands the least. A wise man will be a man of few words. Not many words. He's not insecure. He doesn't have to impress others with how much he knows so that he can feel good about himself. He knows what he knows. He does not need to prove his worth to others by impressing them with his talk. You know people like that, right? Who are insecure, constantly are talking, which is a way of getting attention to themselves because they don't feel good about themselves and they need the affirmation of others and impress others with how much they know. We don't want to be like that. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. A simple person, even a foolish person who really does not understand, maybe perceives as being wise, if only he has enough sense to say very little. If he says little, people won't understand how little he really knows. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Being There with Peter Sellers. Have you ever seen the movie Being There? Only a few of you. It's a great movie. Peter Sellers plays a slow-witted, childlike gardener who becomes homeless when his employer dies. He's a gardener. That's all he's done. He's like very simple, not educated, not smart. He becomes homeless when his employer dies. He lives at, you know, the home of his employer taking care of the garden. His only knowledge of the world comes through television and his gardening experiences. But his simple-minded pronouncements are perceived as being profoundly insightful. He makes very simple, clear pronouncements, often on, you know, the lessons from gardening. And he comes to the attention of the richest and most powerful people in the United States, and they seriously consider him as a presidential candidate. And they want him to run for president. You should, if you can, you know, it's like PG. There's like no bad language. There's, you know, you should consider renting the movie Being There with Peter Sellers. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. It's the opposite of what most people think. The one who talks the most, knows the most, is the wisest. It's the exact opposite. Chapter 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. I love water. Water is one of the most amazing substances in the universe. It reflects the wisdom of God. Water supports life on earth, and yet water can destroy through floods and tsunamis. It's one of the greatest solvents. Even though it supports life, it dissolves many things. And yet without water, which dissolves, sea life, plant life, animal life, human life cannot exist. We need water to stay alive. We use it in cooking, in heating, in putting out fires, in cleaning our homes, our utensils, our clothes, our bodies, treating diseases. Water is used in irrigation and photosynthesis. Water, when running downward, can create energy and electricity to light and heat our homes and power our machines. Water carries the world's ships all over the earth, and 2/3 of the world's goods are transported by water. Water can be beautiful, peaceful, frightening, dangerous, deadly, delightful, amazingly beneficial. There's other really cool things about water, but I'm not here to talk about water tonight. Although I have given a whole sermon just on water. Solomon would say that words can be like water. In the first example, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. Solomon is letting us know that words can express profound things, and words can reveal what is going on deep within a human being. Human beings are like icebergs, which are also made of water. Only 10% of the iceberg shows above the surface. The other 90% is under the water. That's what human beings are like. 10% appear, 90% under the surface that you cannot see. People hide their real motivations, their deepest thoughts, and their agendas from other people. They rarely reveal what they really think or what they may really want from us. But if we pay careful attention to their words, we may be able to discern what is motivating them down deep. We can figure out their hidden agenda. So knowing that may save us from grief and disappointment. So pay attention to what people say, even the little things, because some little thing that they say might be a glimpse into what's really going on way down, their true agenda, their true motivation. Peter. That's true, and there are things in Proverbs, there are Proverbs that talk about watch out for body language. We have this concept of body language, which is a true thing, and people will signal what they are really thinking by winking, which means there's sort of a hidden secret thing going on, maybe a little devious, I don't know. There's other examples of body language. We were talking about that at the men's getaway. But there is verbal language with words, and there is nonverbal body language. And the body language of someone can really give away what they're really thinking. Their words might say one thing. Their body language might say something entirely different. So we should be learning how to read people's body language, facial expressions, winking, nodding. I can't remember some of the other ones that we talked about in Proverbs. Thank you, Peter. Okay, the second example in this proverb. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. We go from deep waters to a bubbling brook. Words are compared to a bubbling brook. Water from a bubbling brook is beautiful, refreshing, life-giving. You want to look for people whose words are wise, whose words reflect truth from God. You want to listen to people who know God, who know His Word, who also understand the world, who understand human nature. People like this, when you listen to them, can enhance your life. They're like a bubbling brook. Beautiful, refreshing, life-giving, life-enhancing, invigorating. Try to listen to people who are like a bubbling brook, who are a fountain of wisdom. Wise, sage, life-enhancing advice. And try to be that kind of wise, delightful, life-giving person yourself. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Chapter 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his ruin. His lips are the snare of his soul. The fool, and again, the fool can be brilliant, extremely well-educated, a PhD, cultured, sophisticated, but he ignores God and ignores God's wise principles. The fool should learn how to be quiet. Because he ignores wisdom, he is going to say foolish things that aren't right, that won't work, that will damage himself and damage others. His mouth is going to get him in trouble. Those who reject God, those who don't believe in the Bible, those who make fun of biblical principles, they should save themselves some trouble and embarrassment, and they should learn how to shut up. A fool's mouth is his ruin. His lips are the snare of his soul. Chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Human beings are born with a certain amount of curiosity. They have a desire to understand things, learn about things. They have a desire to understand things about people and situations. In general, the desire to grow in knowledge is a good desire, but not all information is necessary. Because it doesn't benefit. Information about an individual can be very interesting, like a delicious morsel of food. But because that information may be interesting yet damaging, untrue, unnecessary, it should not be listened to, it should not be passed along. There is private information about people that does not need to become public. There is information about people that will only damage and not help. There are stories that will unnecessarily add to the embarrassment of a person or harm his reputation. Do not be the kind of person who passes along or receives information about others that is private, embarrassing, damaging, not necessary to be known or passed along. A lot of gossip in most churches, most messianic synagogues. Chapter 18, verse 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the results of his lips. Words can produce really good things. They can create positive, beneficial results. The person who's wise, who controls what he says, who doesn't say foolish, stupid, harmful things, who knows how to limit himself to say smart, beneficial things, will be respected by family, by friends, by employers. They will trust him. They will give him more important responsibilities. They will give him opportunities, more opportunities than the one who does not know how to speak wisely and well. Let's be that kind of person. Verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than the one who flatters with the tongue. Rabbi Glenn brought this up earlier, flattery. Human beings come into this world ignorant, selfish, immature, foolish, far from God, and with areas in their character that need refining. Often people are in need of teaching and correction. Most people do not like being corrected. Most people do not like having a confrontation with another person who needs correction, since a confrontation of that sort, a rebuke, a correction, is generally unpleasant and can damage the relationship. But since confronting someone and correcting them is beneficial, we are encouraged to overcome our reluctance to confront and correct. If the person who is corrected is wise, although he may initially be upset by the confrontation, after he cools down and he considers what has happened, he should appreciate the one who had the love and the courage to confront him with the truth that benefits him. He who rebukes a man, corrects him, rebukes him, will afterward find more favor from him than the one who flatters with the tongue. The one who flatters with the tongue, who only says nice things, positive things, flattering things, is not the true friend. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so you learn to value the one who is willing to confront you and rebuke you when you are wrong. Appreciate them. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. Our last proverb on the use of words, and it's found in chapter 29, verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Human beings tend to be insecure, self-centered. We like to hear nice things said about ourselves. It makes us feel good about ourselves. It makes us feel worthwhile, when we often struggle with not feeling worthwhile and not feeling good about ourselves. But someone who is saying too many nice things about you indicates that something may not be right. I like the way the man phrased this. The man who uses oily words may be getting ready to fry you. The man who spreads buttery words about you may be ready to eat you like some bread and butter. Be aware of those who are complimenting you too much. There's probably there could be a hidden agenda. They might want something from you or are planning something that will harm you. And through their flattering words, they are trying to disarm you. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Be wise. Have a tongue that speaks in a God-honoring way. Words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit both for good or for bad. Questions about Proverbs? Okay. Dave Goldstein, my fellow elder at Shema, would you lead us in a closing prayer?